Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, it's Monty, and welcome to the Rockcast.
Heaven help us, this is going to be so horrible.
So glad you could join me, and let me start off by saying I appreciate the fact that you would search this show out and then take the time to download it and listen to it. That kind of self-motivation is a good example of the intelligent go-getters that make up the listening audience of this fine program. And when I see the drive and determination that each one of you free-thinking individuals possess, frankly, it restores my faith in mankind.
That's what I think!
I realize it takes some special qualities to hunt down the better things in life. And it does my heart good to know that not only do my listeners have initiative, but you refuse to settle for second best. I'm reminded of a commercial that I saw yesterday on TV. Perhaps you've seen it.
No.
It's the one where this Mexican guy named Matt drives his old beat-up car 965 miles just so he could get a taco from Taco Bell. When I saw that, all I could think was, wow, what fearless fortitude that took from a guy that knows what he wants and goes after it. And I bet if the truth were known, there were probably people who said, hey, Matt, you're stupid. Hey, Matt, get a life. But do you think Matt listened to those people or let them stop him?
Yes.
No, he did not.
Aha!
But now that I think about it, he probably should have.
Huh?
Because let's face it, what kind of loser drives over 900 miles to get fast food?
I do.
I mean, where's this guy live that he doesn't have a Taco Bell closer to him? The middle of Egypt?
Moron.
And who has time to do that? Some unemployed deadbeat living off the government?
He's scum.
Ugh. What was I talking about?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, whatever. Welcome to the show. On today's show, I plan to crush your skull, and against my better judgment, I'm also going to answer your questions and emails and read your top 10 list.
And it is better than what you usually do.
In addition to that, I'll also be reviewing some new CDs and playing you some cool tunes.
It's always the same.
But I'm going to start things out with a question from a Mr. Skunkum Quills on Facebook who says, hey, Monty, how goes it?
I think we need to have the answer to that.
Well, Mr. Quills, it goes okay as long as I drink plenty of water and eat my Raisin Bran every morning.
That's not funny.
But seriously, I'm doing okay. In fact, the other day I got my nerd on and went to the movie theater and saw The Avengers.
Oh, pinch me.
Now, I'm not really into superhero action movies, but my girlfriend Lindsay wanted to take her kids, so I went along thinking I'd probably hate it. And things didn't get off to a great start when the 5-year-old spilled half of the $8 popcorn all over the floor of the lobby. And while I'm on the subject of snacks at the movies, can somebody explain to me how they can charge $4.75 for the same bag of Twizzlers I can get at Walmart for a dollar?
No, the answer is no, I cannot.
Not that it really matters to me, because I'm one of those guys who smuggles in candy and corn nuts inside of his pockets.
Cheap.
As far as the movie, I was expecting this to be like Transformers and be nothing but explosions and crashes for about 6.5 hours. And even though that's kind of what it was a whole lot better.
Not much.
This one was only about 5.5 hours, or at least it felt like that, but I was surprised how well it kept my interest, and the story was quite good. And why wouldn't it be? I mean, you got Iron Man, Thor, Black Widow, and the Hulk, and they're fighting evil and Russians and space aliens and even each other.
Hell yeah.
I won't give away the ending because I really don't need to, because let's face it, all these movies end the same way. In a nutshell, Robert Downey Jr. is funny and Scarlett Johansson is attractive, but I could have used a lot more of the Hulk and a lot less of Captain America.
Well, you sound like a commie!
And on a scale of 1 to 5, I'll give the Avengers movie 3.5 bloody metal aliens, because I had a good time.
Oh, thank you for telling me.
Okay, back to your emails. I heard recently from several of you, including Phil Robinson, who thought that I had stopped doing the Rockcast because he could no longer download them on the iTunes store. Well, the fact is, no, I never stopped doing the show, but if you did miss any episodes, you might go to my website, MontyColvin.net.
Okay.
If you were subscribed on the iTunes store, yes, it did stop working a few months ago, but good news, it's back.
Oh.
After much pain and frustration, I got a new feed, it's back up, it's working, and all you gotta do is go to the iTunes store and type in Monty's Rock. Cast. It'll take you to my podcast, and you can subscribe for free.
Does that mean I don't gotta pay?
From that point on, every time I put a new episode up, it'll go right into your iTunes.
Ouch.
And while you're at the iTunes store, be sure to rate the show great, which it is. And if you have time and you're in a good mood, why don't you leave a nice comment?
I shouldn't have to.
So I hope that helps. I want to make it as easy as possible for people to get the shows. And if you like it, tell a friend and we'll turn this into a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, well, good luck.
While we're on the topic of the iTunes store, I got a question from Adam, who lives in the UK. And he says, Monty, why do you buy CDs instead of downloading?
Now, why? Why is that?
Well, Adam, actually I do download most of my stuff these days, but I guess they both have their advantages and their disadvantages. I still like having the actual CD. It's something tangible you can hold in your hand and look at the artwork, and I miss those days of having albums and album covers. It was a whole experience that you just don't get anymore. On the other hand, I've got boxes and piles of CDs all over the house, and there's always the possibility that one day they're going to get scratched and won't work anymore. But overall, I don't really care what format it is, because at the end of the day, it's all going onto my computer and into my iPod, and as long as I have music, I'm good to go. So I hope that answers your question, Adam, and clears up that whole controversy.
Nobody really cares.
Next, I got a question from Chuck Murphy, who says, Monty, what's your take on the new solo albums from Ginger?
What are you talking about?
Well, yes, Chuck. Ginger from the Wild Hearts has put out not one, not two, but 3 solo CDs in the last couple months. I've had several people ask me what I thought of it, but there's 30 songs, and it's just taken me a while to get through it and let it sink in.
You better stop listening to that stuff. It's rotting your brain.
My initial response is that it's all over the place stylistically. There's bits of jazz and country and funk and prog rock, and it's all very impressively put together and produced. There's a couple of songs that sound like the Wild Hearts, but for the most part, this is just Ginger being Ginger, which is Ginger doing whatever the hell he wants to do. He doesn't care if he fits into a genre, and he doesn't care what anybody thinks about him. He just does what he wants, he writes songs, and he's a master of melody. I'm sure some of this stuff will grow on me the more I hear it, and a few of these songs already have, and a couple of these songs are so good I actually wet myself.
I've done that before.
Yeah, this one here gives me the eargasm.
Yeah.
Was that as good for you as it was for me?
No.
Well, all right. I'll try to get back to more ginger and more of your emails later, but right now... The rules are simple. You send me a top 10 list, and if I read it on the show, you go into the top 10 playoffs and become eligible for an amazing prize package.
Whatever.
What, you don't believe the prize package is amazing?
No, I don't.
Well, you can ask previous winners John Huff and Brady Jennings. They'll tell you. They got t-shirts and paintings and all kinds of stuff.
A tube of peanuts.
So here we go. I'm going to do a couple of these today, and I'm going to start out with Mr. Jeff Koons, who, as you recall, was a finalist last year in the playoffs, and he's back to try it again. This time, Jeff sends his list of top 10 events of 2011.
Okay.
And in fairness to Jeff, I do have to admit that he sent this to me about 3 or 4 months ago. So this might seem a little outdated, but that's my fault.
Sheer incompetence.
At number 10 of the top events from last year for Jeff, it's a new hot water heater for the house.
Woo! I'm in heaven!
Oh, well, I can only imagine your excitement, Jeff.
It's incredible.
Number 9 is getting my skull crushed at the Anthrax Testament Death Angel Tour.
God should send you to hell.
Number 8 is Dallas beating Miami in the NBA Final.
Amen!
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Jeff. I can't stand the Miami Heat, and I hope they lose again this year, but to be honest, the league is just so full of unlikable prima donnas that I've found it hard to even watch the playoffs this year.
Playoffs?
But moving along on Jeff's list of top events of 2011, Jeff says number 7 is my iPad 2. Yeah, I don't have an iPad yet. I would like one, but I know if I buy an iPad 2 right now, then next year when they come up with the iPad 10, I'll just be frustrated because Apple's changed everything that I liked about my iPad 2, and I'll just end up throwing it against the wall.
Thank you for sharing your honest feelings with me.
Number 6 on Jeff's list is being one of 15 people at the Enough's Enough show.
Oh, yeah!
Huh, so there was 15 people there to see Enough's Enough? Wow, I'm guessing that's one of the bigger turnouts they had on that whole tour.
Ha! Hilarious.
I actually didn't know they were still together, but that's great. I think Enough's Enough is a pretty cool band, and we all have those kind of nights where no one shows up. And I've gone to a few shows where there are only like 2 or 3 people in the whole building. I remember seeing Soundgarden on their first tour, and the place was empty. And believe me, I played many shows with Galactic Cowboys and Crunchy where there was no one there. But you just go ahead and play and entertain the people who did show up, and sometimes they end up being pretty fun gigs.
Unbelievable information.
Back to Jeff's list. Number 5 is Trivium releases In Waves.
Wow.
Okay, Jeff, I do not have that CD, but I can only imagine your excitement.
I know, it's mind-boggling.
Number 4 is the band Volbeat live at a club called First Avenue. And number 3 is the Green Bay Packers losing the first round of the NFL playoffs.
Say what?
Well, you gotta understand that Jeff is from Minnesota and therefore he hates the Packers. And that would also explain why number 2 on his list is Ricky Rubio joins the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Of course.
Yeah, I too love Ricky Rubio. He reminds me of Pete Maravich, and hopefully he has a nice long career.
Okay, terrific.
And finally, at number 1 on Jeff's list of the top 10 events of 2011, the birth of his son, Jake Jeffrey. Well, good job, Jeff. I mean, I've heard some great top tens in my life, but they don't get much better than that.
That's not true!
Well, that went so well, I think I'll do another one. And this one comes to us from Eric Conrad. And if you remember, Eric was nominated for a Rock Casty last year for Worst Listener.
That's great!
Unfortunately, he did not win, but Eric wrote to thank me and said hopefully he'll be nominated again this year.
It would be so nice.
Eric admits that he's a bit of an a-hole, and he hopes it doesn't bum me out to know that I have some douchebag listeners, and he will continue to listen and look forward to my shows.
What a great guy.
Well, Eric, thank you very much, and let me just say, it takes a big man to admit when he's a tool.
That's a fact.
Most people want to just walk around and act like they're awesome, but I have a lot of respect for the guy that'll stand up and say, hey world, I'm a dick and I know it.
There's no doubt about it.
So kudos to you, Eric Conrad, and allow me now to read your top 10 list of favorite TV show theme songs. And it starts out at number 10 with The Andy Griffith Show.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I loved that show. It was a classic, and the whistling theme song was awesome.
I guess.
Number 9 is the theme song from Night Court. Number 8 is The Addams Family. Number 7 is What's Happening. And number 6 is Cheers.
Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, that was good. The Wild Hearts actually did a cover of the theme from Cheers, and it rocked.
Oh, really? Really? Are you sure?
Number 5 is Welcome Back, Cotter. And yeah, I think the name of that guy that did that song was John Sebastian or something like that.
Yeah. So?
Welcome back. Oh, God, was that cheesy.
Totally.
But very memorable, as was number 4, the theme from MASH.
This is not good.
Number 3 is The Rockford Files. Number 2, Emergency. And at number 1, the theme song from the TV show The Sons of Thunder.
What the hell is that?
Well, I must say that was an excellent list, Eric, even though I don't remember the TV show The Sons of Thunder. However, for 25 points, can you tell me the name of the band played by Galactic Cowboys in the movie Airheads?
I have no idea.
Oh, yes, it was indeed the Sons of Thunder. And if you don't believe me, you can go find that DVD in a bargain bin somewhere. And while you're at it, you can check out the back of my head for a total of 2 seconds.
Lame.
Hey, what can I say? My acting career was very brief. Unlike this segment.
I want this over!
But thanks again to Jeff and Eric for your lists. You are both going to the playoffs. On the last episode, I did a new segment called Rapid Fire CD Reviews.
That sucked.
Since then, I've received literally thousands of emails, and every single one of them said that you guys loved it.
He just made that up.
Well, as you know, I like to make it good for the people and give you guys what you want. So here once again is some Rapid Fire CD Reviews. How this works is I go through a bunch of new CDs, play you bits and pieces, and give you my thoughts. They're all different genres and styles of music, and some of it I might like and some of it I may hate. And by the end, you may hear some stuff that you'll want to go buy or stay away from completely. Either way, a good time will be had by all.
None of this is fun.
Leading off and batting first is a Christian band.
Jesus! Oh!
No. I know what you're thinking, but it's not Sandy Patty or Michael W. Smith or something cheesy and horrible like that.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's actually a group called Demon Hunter, and they're a Christian metal band, which means they try and look and sound as evil as possible.
Hallelujah.
Their new CD is called True Defiance, and the album cover has some kind of satanic-looking skull with horns on it. And if I had to describe their music, I would say it's kind of a cross between something like Slayer, Disturbed, and maybe Shinedown. As with a lot of Christian metal, you get songs about hell and how it's a bad place and you don't want to go there. But at the same time, I've got to wonder, are they going to be playing this kind of music in heaven?
No, they're not.
When I die, I'm not sure I'm going to either place, because I'll probably just go into the ground and decompose. But if for some reason I do end up in an afterlife where there's angels and the streets are paved with gold, I doubt very seriously if God's gonna say, hey, anybody wanna listen to some death metal?
Hell no!
Nah, I think God probably prefers prog rock, but definitely not techno, and for sure not Air Supply.
God hates that!
I'm not sure what God thinks of Demon Hunter as a band, but I'm thinking he probably wishes their new CD had better songs.
Ouch.
I'm not saying it's bad, because they're a good band, but I've listened to it 3 times now, and it's still not grabbing me. So that's Demon Hunter. The singer's pretty good, and somebody told me that one of the guitar players in that band is from Nevada, Missouri.
It's a miserable place to live.
And I am from Nevada, Missouri. I went to high school there, and so did my dad. So if nothing else, they must be good people.
No, they're bad.
Now, if the guys in Demon Hunter do indeed go to heaven like they believe they're going to, this next artist will surely go to hell. Not because he's a horrible, filthy sinner, but because he put out such terrible music over the years.
Who is it?
I am, of course, talking about Slash, and I am, of course, just kidding.
No, you're not.
I actually like Slash. He's an icon, and he's written some of the most memorable guitar riffs in history. Only problem is, on his new CD, Apocalyptic Love, Slash seems to be trying to write all those classic tunes all over again.
Take me down to the paradise city.
Oh well, it's okay to rip yourself off. I know I've done it before, and there's actually some catchy tunes on here. He's got Miles Kennedy on vocals this time for the entire album, and that guy is a great singer, even if I don't exactly love his voice.
Don't believe you anymore. Don't believe you anymore. You bled me out, you tore me down, your time has come.
Alright, that chorus sounds really familiar. I know I've heard that somewhere before. I'm racking my brain trying to think of what it is. Oh well, I'll probably think of it later. Anyway, I like Slash's last solo album better than this one. I thought it had better songs on it. But if you're a big fan of Slash, or you like Guns N' Roses or Alter Bridge, you'll probably like this.
All my life.
The next CD is from another music icon. It's Paul McCartney, and I was pretty excited to hear that he had a new album until I heard it.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
You know, I loved the Beatles, I loved Wings, and I am not going to sit here and criticize Paul McCartney. And if he wants to do an entire album of soft, jazzy classics, well, he's earned the right to do that.
That's right.
However, I don't have to like it, and I don't.
Ooh, say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believe in me.
Well, we knew it had to happen eventually, but Paul McCartney has officially gotten old. This is the same guy who my parents would not let me listen to when I was a kid because they thought he was a bad influence. However, I actually believe that if my parents were alive today, they would be encouraging me to listen to this, and I find that a little bit sad and disturbing.
Night covers all, and though fortune may forsake.
The name of the new Paul McCartney CD is called Kisses on the Bottom, and the name of that song that I just played is called Home, Shadows Fall. And coincidentally, the band Shadows Fall also has a new CD.
Ah!
Yeah, like the way I did that transition?
I didn't get it.
Oh. Well, the new album is called Fire from the Sky, and it's not too shabby.
It's not worth competing. I feel this never.
To me, they're kind of a cross between Testament and Killswitch Engage. They've always got a couple of great songs on every CD, but they never seem to knock it out of the park. However, I love the vocal harmonies that they do, and the guitar players are great. So that's Shadows Fall, and you may not like them, but this next band is garbage.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah, remember Garbage?
What?
Yeah, they're called Garbage, and they got the producer of Nirvana, Butch Vig, in the band, and some chick singer, and they were around in the 90s, remember?
Yeah, no.
Well, like it or not, they're back with a new CD, and it's called Not Your Kind of People. Okay, I'm not exactly digging that.
It's garbage.
But I don't want to rush to judgment, so let's try another song.
How much more of this garbage are we going to take?
Set myself on fire.
Well, I'm not crazy about that, but I'm sure the ultra-hip alternative radio stations will love it.
It's garbage!
But here's something that may have slipped by you. A few months ago, Wayne Static from Static X put out a solo CD called Pig Hammer. I love Static X, but this CD is a little bit corny.
What do you mean?
It reminds me of Korn.
Huh?
The band, not the vegetable.
I don't know which one it is.
I wasn't expecting a Static X CD, but I was expecting some great riffs and good hooks, and I didn't really get that. Wayne Static is still one of my favorite rock stars ever, but I was a little disappointed in Pig Hammer. Now, if comedy rock is your thing, look no further than Tenacious D. Kyle Gass and Jack Black are back with Rise of the Phoenix. We want some love. She wear the big eagle suit. She get the shield kicking boot. We need the low. Musically, it's just kind of acoustic-based rock, kind of in the vein of Springsteen or The Who. But the lyrics are very funny, and live, these guys are hilarious. Slipknot and a flip floor, Philly door, park, oh, wow. No. You probably don't want your kids listening to this album, but if you want a good laugh, check out the songs Death Star, Roadie, and 39 from the mighty Tenacious D. So that was Rapid Fire CD Reviews. Be sure to email me and let me know what you thought.
It was so horrible.
Recently, I heard from a Mr. David Whiteman.
Total evil!
David wanted to thank me for my podcast because he listens to me while he exercises and lifts weights, and it helps him get through his workouts. I thought that was really nice of David, and you're welcome.
He's a nice man.
However, David went on to say something to the effect of that all I do is sit on my couch, drink Dr. Pepper, and watch TV.
You're pathetic.
Well, that's when I realized people have a lot of misconceptions about me, and they don't really know who I am. So in hopes of correcting this, here's a little segment I like to call Get to Know Me. Today on Get to Know Me, I'm going to be counting down the top 10 misconceptions about me.
And then we all went to sleep?
So here we go with misconception number 10, which is, all I do is watch TV.
That's true.
Now I realize that I watch stuff like the Grammys and the MTV Video Music Awards and crap like that, so you don't have to. And I do it out of the goodness of my heart. But in all honesty, I only watch maybe 2 hours of television per day.
I'm impressed.
I used to watch a lot more, but these days I'll watch something while I'm eating dinner, like Survivor. and then I'll watch something when I go to bed that's on my DVR, and it'll put me right to sleep. Sure, I've got to have my NFL, NBA, SNL, Celebrity Apprentice, That Metal Show, Best Inc., Tosh.0, Big Brother, Bait Car, and Hell's Kitchen. But the only reason I have to watch Dancing with the Stars is because my girlfriend forces me.
Well, yeah.
So as you can plainly see, I don't watch that much TV.
Uh-huh.
I'm more of a reader.
A bald-faced liar.
And besides, even if I did watch a lot of it, there's nothing wrong with TV.
Television, the greatest inflamer of sinful desire ever invented.
Misconception number 9 is that I will give you the shirt off my back.
This isn't true, is it?
Yes, it is true that when I was in Galactic Cowboys, I'd give people my sweaty t-shirts that I just wore on stage. But honestly, that was just to keep myself from doing laundry.
So commendable.
I see myself as a very giving person. However, if you think you're going to pry me away from my Megadeth, Iron Maiden, or any of the other numerous band t-shirts in my wardrobe, think again.
What a special friend you are.
Misconception number 8 is that I'm unlucky in life.
Yes, you are.
True, things haven't always gone the way I've wanted over the course of my life. But I've also made a lot of bad decisions over the years, and for those, I will take full responsibility. I no longer blame God or the devil for my problems. I just blame myself.
You should.
I've also had a lot of good things happen to me, but I don't call that being lucky. Sure, I got some breaks along the way, but I was also willing to move, sleep on people's floors, and basically work my butt off in order to put myself in a position to get those breaks. You can't get very far in life without a lot of drive and determination. So if you're just sitting around waiting for something to fall in your lap, well, good luck.
All right, you too.
Misconception about me number 7 is that I'm rich.
Yeah, right.
Just because I've been in rock bands who made albums and toured and had record deals and made videos doesn't mean I made a lot of money. Quite the contrary. By the time I left Galactic Cowboys, all the money that we got from those big record deals was completely gone. Once the managers, lawyers, and accountants have all taken their cut, then it's time to pay for the recording, touring, equipment, and rehearsal halls. After that, if you have enough money left over to pay your rent, you, my friend, have had a successful career in the music business.
That's positive thinking.
Since people think I'm rich, they also think I've never had a real job, which brings us to misconception number 6, which is I don't work for a living.
No, you really don't.
I played music professionally for about 15 years, but when SAR Records went bankrupt, left me financially devastated and destroyed all of my dreams, I had to find other ways to make money. Since then, I've worked for companies doing faux painting and murals and signs and airbrush work. I've done stuff out at the stadiums here in Kansas City. Churches, movie theaters, amusement parks, on and on.
We could just stop right there.
I've also done illustrations for magazines. I did a comic strip for a magazine. I've done artwork for books and CD covers and t-shirts.
Isn't that enough?
I also sell paintings from time to time. And if you want to hire me to do a commission, I'll do a portrait of you or your friends or your kids or your dogs or whatever.
Okay, that's enough.
I would still love to be able to just sit in the studio all day and record songs and make albums, but CD sales do not cover my bills, and so I have been forced to resort to things such as painting houses. And let me tell you, that sucks ass.
You better believe it does.
So yes, I am a man of many talents, and I have had numerous jobs. Unfortunately for me, I just picked a field of expertise that no one wants to pay you for.
Yeah, just a shame.
Misconception number 5, people think I'm younger than I am.
How old are you?
When I was 20, people thought I was in high school. When I was 30, people thought I was around 18 or 20. When I turned 40, people thought I was still in my 20s. When I turned, well, never mind, you get the idea.
How many years are
dare you?
In some ways, it's nice. I can still go to Hot Topic and buy T-shirts, and I can still go to Warped Tour and walk amongst the teenagers.
But it also is super creepy.
Maybe it's my hair or the way I dress, or maybe I'm just a weirdo. But I like to think it's because I've got a youthful attitude.
You have decided to be weird.
I don't think like an old person, and I don't plan on ever doing that. Unfortunately, looking and thinking young can have its drawbacks.
Oh, like what?
All those years while I was on the road being a rock star, people my age were at jobs building careers. Most of those same people now have kids who have kids, and most importantly, they have retirement plans. And even though I completely despise that 9-to-5 lifestyle, I'm kind of envious and I've got a lot of respect for those people. And speaking of respect, or the lack of it, that's another drawback to looking young. No matter what I do, if people think I'm younger than I am, they assume I'm a naive, inexperienced idiot.
You bet they do.
But regardless of how people treat me or what they think of me, I just have to continue to be myself.
You're a freak!
Now here's a good one. Misconception number 4 is that people think I'm a nice guy.
What?
And I know what you're saying, but Monty, you are a nice guy. And to that I would say, well, yeah, I try. I've always tried. When I was on tour, I always used to hang outside the bus and talk to people every night after the shows. I used to write the fans back when they'd send me letters. And these days, if you send me an email, I always try and answer it. Only problem with that is, people tend to take advantage of that.
Hey, that Monty's a nice guy. I can be a complete smartass to him. He'll take it.
Well, no, not anymore. I used to take the high road and let everybody walk all over me, but no longer. So if you want to go on message boards and tell lies about me, or send me snotty, condescending comments, go right ahead. But just remember, I have a podcast now.
I didn't know that.
Misconception number 3 is I'm a jerk.
Oh, yes.
Now, you may find this very hard to believe, but not everybody likes me.
No.
Yeah, I know. I find it hard to believe myself. But there are people out there who actually mistake my opinionated rants as cruel, thoughtless, and mean. But the truth is, I'm not trying to hurt anyone. I'm just telling you what I think, and it's all meant in good fun. So please don't think I'm a jerk, because when it's said and done, I'm just like anybody else. I'm just a guy who's trying to have a good time at the expense of others.
What a jerk.
Misconception number 2 is that I am a big, super religious, born-again Christian. And I know this is going to upset some people, but before you judge me, just hear me out.
Go ahead. Why don't you do that? You're going to get ostracized.
First of all, I grew up in the Baptist church, and I was literally indoctrinated from the moment I popped out of my mother's womb.
Okay, that's good.
I practically lived at church when I was a kid, and most of my life I considered myself a Christian. I didn't do drugs, didn't drink, didn't have sex before marriage, and tried to be perfect like my parents. I was also completely miserable, as were my parents.
Well, boo-hoo.
I tried to believe in the Bible, and I'd put on the facade and try to make everyone think I was holy and special. But I was just a hypocrite who looked down his nose at people I thought were lost when I was no better than anybody else.
What's the point?
About 5 or 6 years ago, I started questioning everything I had ever believed. And suddenly stories about talking snakes and Noah's Ark sounded like fairy tales. I wasn't trying to be rebellious or a heathen. It just didn't make sense to me anymore. So I stopped going to church, and I haven't been back since.
You're a sinner. You're going to hell.
Strangely enough, I do still believe in God. And as Dave Mustaine would say, I talk to him every day. But no, I no longer consider myself a part of the organized religion of Christianity.
You are evil.
But I hope you don't think badly of me, because I'm just trying to be honest honest with everybody and let you know how I feel.
Rot in hell.
And finally, the number one misconception about me, Monty Colvin, is people think I do drugs.
Yeah!
Once again, maybe it's my long hair, maybe it's my clothes, and the fact that I like rock and roll that makes people assume that I'm a stoner. But if I had a dollar for every time somebody walked up to me on the street and said, "Hey man, got any weed?" I could make a living off of just that.
Totally.
I have still never smoked pot in my entire life, but just by looking at me, people seem to think that I do. Not only that, but for some reason, they think I'd be a good place to find it. Not too long ago, I was staying at a hotel. About 11:30 that night, a knock comes to the door. I crack open the door, and there's a guy standing there going, "Hey, dude, got any weed?" And I'm like, "No." About a week later, I go walking out to the mailbox outside of my house, and my neighbor comes up, and he says, "Hey, man, my name's Otis." And I say, "Hey, Otis, what you doing?" And he says, "Man, I'm looking for some weed. You know where I could get some green." So I don't get it, but if you see me walking down the street, feel free to come up to me and ask me if I've got any pot. Maybe at that point, we can become friends, I can clear up your misconceptions, and you can get to know me. Today I answered your emails and I read your top tens and you got to hear some CD reviews and find out a little bit more about me. But unfortunately, now it's time for me to go.
That's the best thing I've heard.
But never fear, I will return soon with more excellence in podcasting.
Why bother?
I'm going to play you one last song by a band called Cherry Bomb. They're an all-girl group, and they kind of remind me of a female Foo Fighters. They've got a brand new CD, and it's called This Is the End of Control, and it really isn't too bad.
It is that bad.
But that's going to do it for me for now. So until next time, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
Just won't let go.
This show sucks.
In your face.